Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlin, and my sister, Kix. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
And hello. Hi. Hi. We're going to jump right in today because we have a lot to chat about. Only one show, but we got three eps, and we got a lot to dive into because it's the jolt of energy that I think the world needs right now. And to join us to chat all things Ultimate Girls Trip, we are joined by Gibson Johns. You can follow him at Gibsonoma on IG, the host of In the Nose podcast, We Should Talk. And we've had him here on the pod before. And Gibson, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Any excuse to talk about this amazing show we've been blessed with.
Oh my gosh,
thank
I know.
Fucking God. Especially when it's 80 degrees outside. There's nothing quite like a fall show.
Totally.
To get you cozy.
I completely agree.
I agree.
It's hot there, but like the Berkshires give you that like
a warm and fuzzy feeling. Mm-hmm. Fuzzy like yes, yeah. From like the warmth, but also just from like all the alcohol we're drinking, you know, just like
oh yeah.
Right. Yes.
I know. Kix, that's a good point. I had not even really like connected that. Like You're right. Like there is something so cozy about the fall and in the summertime watching that. Because I watched them all in one sitting and I was on Airbnb just like immediately looking at like places to go.
It's like the opposite of watching Summer House when it's on in the winter. You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom and I have been to the Berkshires and we stayed there for like a long weekend and it was actually wonderful. Like it's like, seems wonderful on TV and it is wonderful in real life.
It's beautiful. Did you go searching for Bluestone Manor?
So one night me and one other person who was there on the trip with us, we went to go pick up food. We picked up takeout in Great Barrington. And so when we were in Great Barrington, because we were staying right outside of Great Barrington, mm-hmm. we jetted around a little bit, but it's hard to find because it's like an estate.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that I think on Roni, you don't really understand the vastness of it. Like you see, because there's certain shots of it. It doesn't look like homely. It just looks some shots just look like a nice home. You know, not like this massive, huge, right? Because I feel like there's so many scenes of the garage and the entryway to the house is like very simple. It's not very decadent.
Right.
But you don't get that full like drive up moment. Like there's a podcaster that went. I can't remember. Oh no, it was Michelle Collins, comedian, and
love
host
her.
Michelle Collins. She love her. She's the best. And she went and visited, and she was talking on her Sirius show about how it's like a drive to get there. Like once you get to the gate, like you actually
that's
have to
when
like,
you
drive
know.
A bit to get. So right. So I'm like. Trying to find the house proved to be a little difficult mm-hmm. because it's not just like right there
right.
on the street.
And I also think
right, but you don't, like you're saying, Tom, you don't really understand that until now. Like I didn't get that there was like such an entrance and like a
well, because also when they go there on Roni, it's like always November, December, very like mm-hmm. cold outside vibes. They're not like lounging mm-hmm. by the pool on Roni. So I think that,
right.
And I also kind of get the feeling that when Dorinda had that, I mean, we know when she had that like pipe burst or whatever, and she redid a bunch of the interior. I feel like she also kind of rehabbed some of the exterior of the property too. Like it looks like pretty like new and pristine to me, a lot of it, except for Tamara was like picking apart the pool and like saying that she'd update it. I don't know. It looks great to me.
It looks good to me. Yeah.
These girls can go suck. They are so judgmental. It's like, come on.
I know. Vicky walking in and having it like not be up to her standards and like acting like it was like, you know, oh, where are we going? In the middle of nowhere. Like, why would you live out here? It's just like, that's not how I want you to like start off this trip with the like the bad vibes. Like let's not start there, you know?
No. Yeah. Well, so before we jump headfirst in, I just want to say we are spending this entire episode just speaking about the first three episodes that came out last week. We'll chat more current Bravo on the weeks to come, but we felt that this was a really, really important moment in Bravo.
Yes.
And Gibson was there at the premiere. So I would like to, before we chat about, you know, all the ins and outs of these three episodes, what was it like to be with these ladies like in person?
Yeah, so I was at the premiere party and I'd interviewed Jill that morning. Mm-hmm. And so, and of course, they were like, come say hi, whatever. But like, okay, it was a great party. Like a million good people were there. There were no other housewives from like other shows there. It was just the cast from Girls Trip, which I thought was interesting because I was like, you'd think that like maybe like, you know, Sonia would come support Dorinda or like or some of the New York ladies would be there, or none of that was happening. So, but it was, they basically, a lot of them were behind a velvet, like a cordoned off area for a lot of the party, which to me, like, I don't know, especially because it's the ex-wives, I was really surprised by kind of how unavailable they were to the rest of the party, because it was like, and they all know this as reality stars, as housewives, you know, taking pictures with people and interacting with people, like that's like their currency. That's how they stay in the conversation a lot of the ways, like outside of a show. So that was just like, to me, a really big misstep on a lot of their parts, was to like not, they were just, like, some of them were just like literally sitting on a couch for the whole party. Unless you like found some way to go up to them. But Vicky was actually one that was out and about the most, like mingling with people. Her and Tamara just stood next to the stepper and Pete for like 20 minutes and just people could cycle in and out taking photos. And I was like, that's how it should be. That's what all these women should be doing.
Exactly.
It was so bizarre. Then towards the end, it sort of like, you know, if you have a little more free flowing, like people were just like the velvet ropes were taken down a little bit. Like people were going in and out. So I brought my brother, and he had gone to Phaedra's book signing back in 2014, and he had,
oh my gosh,
and he had the picture up, and he showed it to her, and she was like sort of walking by, and she was like, I'm going to come find you later. I have to like talk to you about this. And I was like, and we were like, okay. So then we're sort of standing around like near the VIP section, and Phaedra spots my brother. This is like 2 hours later. She's like, come over here. I have to talk to you. And she like, we didn't think she was gonna loop back. They talked for like 5 minutes. She gave him her phone number, said, text me. Like she was like so friendly and so into the fact that like, into the idea of him having been a fan for like 10 years now. You know what I mean? Like it was, right. And she was, she like won the night in my book, but Brandy was mingling a lot.
Well, she's winning. She's winning.
She's winning the show. Exactly. Yeah. And she knows it. And right before I left, I went up to Taylor and I was like just talking to her, and I was like, will you like just indulge me and just do the cat meme for me, like do the yelling meme. And she was like really, she had a lot to drink that night, and she was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And that was my moment.
At this point with them not on the show anymore, you gotta lean
well, that's what I'm
it,
saying
you know?
That's what I'm saying. Why is like I was so surprised that like, and this isn't like taking a shot at them, but like Dorinda and Jill were like kind of just sitting in the back for most of the party. And I was like, even that them doing it, that just seemed really surprising. Cause like they know how to play the game. And that is the game. It's like taking photos.
Yeah. I will say, right. I will say out of like, just from that, it makes sense to me because they're probably the two that are the most bitter. I would say Vicky and Tamara have like a shot of getting back on the OC, I think. Because they're legends, and so is Dorinda as well. I wouldn't say Jill is, from my personal opinion, but
wait,
part of
me
thinks
mean?
It's
you
like
think she's like a legend of, I mean,
I think did you mean that, you know, Dorinda has a better chance of getting back on a show than Jill does?
Yeah, I guess, but I also see I imagine that just from these three episodes, Dorinda feels a little bitter about it, where Vicky and Tamara are like, no, we're fucking fired, but we're incredible. And like that energy puts you back on the show, I think, more than like.
Totally. But I was just surprised
Dorinda
that
being like,
Dorinda did that.
I'm on pause.
I know. But yeah. Well,
now, I'm not going to say who, but we have heard, and this is all allegedly, and this is also just like someone's opinion. And I don't, have you interviewed Dorinda before? Gibson?
Several times, but not in like years, not since she was on the show.
Don't get it twisted. I love that woman. She's like top
I love her
five
too
of all time for
yeah
me, so.
I agree, I love her too, but we have heard in the past before that she is not very easy to work with, and I think there is an ego at play a bit, and it's not being helped or lessened in any way by having a show that's quite literally about her hosting and her at her home, you know, like this is, if anything, this isn't like a humbling experience.
Well, yeah. I think that like, I think you talked about some of their bitterness and like sort of they're all in various stages of sort of accepting like where they are in relation to the show that made them famous. And like, I think we all know that Dorinda was like, whether she was put on pause or fired or whatever, like whatever they told her, like the reason why she was not asked back was because like she was having a problem with alcohol and like mm-hmm. it was not coming across well on the show. And I think a lot of that ties into like some of the ego of it all, some of the whatever you want to say, but like this show is showing us like who has like accepted some of that or like done any sort of, you know, like changing of their lifestyle. Dorinda it hasn't sunk in for her yet. It's like too soon. No. And like, I don't know. I'm loving the show. I just think that like she has not internalized any of the lessons that they wanted her to learn from being quote unquote put on pause.
Completely agree.
It's such a brilliant like casting yeah. and production move to do this. And like watching her get ready for the women coming and the fact that she rented all of this furniture but couldn't rent a fucking bed for Brandy to sleep in is just like the perfect example of Bluestone Manor. It's like she's not going to touch the rooms. They're going to stay how they are, but I will bring in catering. Like she brought in tents and all of this stuff. Like I work adjacent and mostly in production of photo shoots. I know what it's like to rent furniture quite often. And it's doable. It's just like that was something so small that made me just be like, and this is why this is just perfect.
See, but I love, I'm happy she didn't touch anything. Like I almost wish there weren't tents. Like I'd be down for just like bare bonesing it.
And also yeah. I'm glad, honestly, I think it's funny that somebody had to end up with a pullout couch. I kind of wish it had been somebody other than Brandy. Like I kind of wish it had been somebody who like would have thrown more of a fit. Over it. Like Brandy like obviously called it out, but then she's like, we'll happily sleep on the pullout couch. But like somebody else, a lesser person we'll say, would have taken that well.
I think the worst room setup, I actually would have been down for, I thought the room with the couch kind of like looked nice. And I think she did a good job with it. Right, it looks very secluded. The room I would be like, this is a no for me, is that tiny ass room that Tamara and Vicky are sharing.
And it looks like a little girl's room.
I think it is.
Is that Hannah's room?
She redid her home.
I think that is Hannah's room.
She redid her home, and that's what the room looks like as of like 3 years ago. It's hilarious. I love it. And Phaedra getting the fish room and loving it.
But have we gotten like a Phaedra fish room moment yet? We haven't, right? Or we did?
Yes, the first episode, she walks in and is like, "Oh, I get the famous fish room," and she's like talking about it in her confessional.
But we haven't seen her like interacting with like the fish vibes.
No.
Okay,
no, right. I do need to see.
I swim with sharks before, and they were scared of me.
I do need like a solo Phaedra moment, like maybe like talking to the fish or like, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think she'll deliver on that. She's delivering on all fronts. She did an awful thing on getting off of the show. And I'm never going to say that that was not a good idea. I'm not saying that was a good idea. I just, in the end, she kind of needs to be back.
She's still a bona fide star. Like she's an absolute star. She's so quick. She's one of the funniest people to ever be on Housewives ever. And
I mean, everything she says was hilarious. The right off the bat, her being like, "Who is Richard?" But Dorinda is so, I love Dorinda, but she thinks everyone just was watching her show.
That's also the interesting thing. It's like some of them who assume that everyone was watching each other. And like, Dorinda mm-hmm. thinks that everyone knows her full story, knows everything about her. And I saw somebody say like, if people were actually watching Dorinda's show, they would know that when she starts porning, it's game over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bluestone Manor is literally haunted with like the souls of every single argument.
Right, that too.
I can't. The Richard Tree revelation was insane to me. I mean, not the concept of it, just that like that was right off the bat, like what she wanted to share with everyone. I'm like, okay, like.
But Phaedra hits us with who is Richard in episode one, and episode two is who is Jill. So she shot. Yeah,
that was amazing. When she's like, why? Where
do I know this woman from?
No, do you think that was...
Fucking hilarious. She's hilarious.
Now, do you think that that was production's doing, or do you think Jill had the idea of, like, staging manicures and then for her to walk in and say hi? Like, do you think that was a production stunt,
it was definitely a stunt.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't... And I kind of think it was just kind of, like, both of... I bet you Jill was like, wouldn't it be funny if I... recreated, and then I don't know whose idea it was to like have that literally having manicures happen again, but like
it didn't work though.
As a obviously a long time viewer fan, original Roni fan, like I loved the lead up to it. I loved like the dramatic pull in. I loved the stepping out of the car, but then like they kind of flopped it by having Gary there, by having the dog there, it was like the surprise shirt of it all. There was too much going, Jill, you know what I mean? Jill, it was like too, it was over, was it was overwrought. And like
Coco Chanel says, when you dress with accessories, remove one. Isn't that what it is?
I like that. I like that. No, it's
take one thing off. What do you mean? Are you saying
she had too much going on? Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. In a joke moment, like take one thing off and it'll live.
And like,
I can't wait to read your book about comedy kicks.
Same. But what saved it was Phaedra's reaction and the fact that the women did not give Jill the reaction she wanted. But
well, also like, I think there's probably like 50 people there just like between production, like medics, catering, like the actual cameraman, like so who's to know who's a person, like how are you supposed to know like who's a person?
That's a great point.
And who's like, who are we talking to, who are we allowed to speak to, and who are we not? Mm-hmm. And she just walks in, and Jill, I'm sure, is like a petite small woman standing from the other side of the pool. Like they're like, who is that?
It's all,
and so, unfortunately Jill's not top of mind anymore.
No, I mean she's the one I believe who's been off her show for the longest. Like and to like people like us who have watched everything and every single episode of everything, probably she's still a big deal because she like helped start that show, but you know, they don't care about that. Like they all think that they have had integral parts in their own shows, and they have, so they don't care about Jill Zarin walking in. And
the only person that does is Eva, and I die for her being so excited to see Vicky. Like, I feel like because she even says, she's like, I watch every single season, every single episode. She's like, Vicky is an icon. Like,
well, that's what I found. That's what I find refreshing, and why I think it's actually really working out well for Eva on this show, is that like, she's going against that, how they're all acting, which is like, you know, I'm an icon, I'm whatever. And then again, like a lot of them are icons, but like for her to totally subvert that and be like, oh, I'm a fan too. Like that to me is like, she's checking her ego at the door when there's so much ego in this house right now that it's really playing into her favor. And honestly, like I didn't dislike Eva on Atlanta, but I never like loved how Eva came across on Atlanta, but I'm like loving her on this. I think she's the biggest like change for me personally and how I feel about them.
Cause I do think I think she's self-aware enough to be there. When she got the call to be casted, I imagine she was like,
right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, are you sure? Yeah. Like, there's
so many.
You mean
on Girls Trip or Atlanta? What do you mean?
Girls Trip.
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Girls Trip. Okay. That when she got the call to be on Girls Trip, I imagine she was a little bit confused. Because if you look at the list of icons, it's like, I wouldn't put Eva as the most one of the most iconic ex housewives. I mean, they need neutral people.
Of course.
I love the neutral queen.
Yeah, you can't have full chaos. And we're almost at full chaos.
I agree.
Too. And we needed, but something I thought about with Eva, and I think is a rule just across the board with housewives, very rarely when you're pregnant do you make a great housewife. Like Bethany was hilarious when she was pregnant, and so was Portia. But the stress of doing those two things at the same time has to be insane. Mm-hmm. And Eva was, I think Eva had two children on the show. I believe
she was always pregnant.
She was pregnant twice on the show. And so she's always like, we're like, where's Eva? Oh, she's like at the OBGYN. And you're like, okay, well, like,
let's and you also, the, like, they aren't, drink,
oh,
they aren't
Eva's
drinking,
not drinking
when they're pregnant.
She's pregnant.
Yeah, they aren't. Right. Like,
we just need, some more like,
I know,
juices flowing figuratively and literally. And so her being like free of children and being and being her husband also was running for mayor of Atlanta at the time.
Right. Me too.
And like, I think there was just a lot of exterior things going on that maybe made for an interesting life, but maybe not just a great, it wasn't the right era for her to be a housewife, I think. Because seeing her here, she's really settling into herself. I love the free conversations about just weed. She's like, I'm going to go run to the dispensary to get a joint. I just love it. I love that we're watching her smoke weed. We don't really get to see that on these shows. Oh, no. And I just, it's her being, I almost feel like she's even being more open about her life. Like the friendship she's, you know, creating with Taylor and them sharing their stories was so important and wonderful. I'm really, really thankful that she is there.
Yeah, I think that something that I really liked the first season of Girls Trip because I really liked how like all the meta conversations they were having about that really broke the fourth wall and like talked about actually being on the shows. And like, I think that one of the reasons why somebody like Eva would do really well on a show like this is one, again, like what we just said, she's sort of like the antidote to the really big ego personalities that we're getting, but also like she came into Atlanta when there was like, I mean, Nene was still around, right? Portia was around, Kenya was around. There was a lot of people who had been on that show for a long time who thought and were the queens of that show. They play on Atlanta, like everyone plays a certain role. And so when you bring all these people together in this new territory and none of them on a show together, none of them know each other really, there aren't roles to play. And so like, I feel like on Atlanta, Eva was sort of like put in her place in certain ways. Cause she was like the younger one coming in. Like she never really, I don't know. It just frees them up. It's like, there's not.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It makes sense that she would drive. Nothing to lose.
Right. And it's not like she's, I mean, I don't know if this is the case, but I'm assuming it's not like there's going to be a second season of Ex-Wives Club and this group of girls is.
No, I think if they do it would be different cast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like she needs to perform to get back on the season next year. You know, it's like she's been, I'm just loving her. I'm loving her. So
I do. I do wonder which ones of them, or I wonder if you guys have an opinion on this. Like, which ones are like are viewing this as an audition to get back on their show? You know what I mean? Because I don't Vicky. Think Eva is. Vicky definitely is.
Eva's definitely not. Yeah. I think Eva's like, if this was a wrap for reality, I'm right. Good. Like I she's been doing reality television forever.
Like 18.
I don't think Brandy is. I think Brandy knows that she's probably never going to come back to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I agree. I think the people that are working hard are, Vicky, Tamara, Dorinda. Yeah. And Jill would go.
Jill's always trying out, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Literally every day.
Right. I am also loving her like mother. She just is this wonderful mother presence and just her being like, oh, you know, those socks. I have a pair of those constant nonstop. It's hilarious.
I know.
She's treating everyone like they're her children.
And I think that watching Jill, I'm curious to see how it looks for the rest of this season. But to me, watching Jill in this group sort of hammers home it hammers home the idea that it was a good decision not to bring her back to Roni because the show had evolved past her. Like, I don't think that she, like, for example, they were playing during that game night and Jill was sort of just like laying back on the back of the couch and sort of not super engaging, whatever, sort of like watching it all happen. And I was like, she's not really like in this, you know, there's all this drama happening, but she's, I don't know. I just think that the Real Housewives was so much different when she was on back in like 2011. At this point, it's been like over 10 years. I just don't know if she is there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
She's not.
The pace is different. The pace is different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
You can be very neutral, but you could, like, it comes with territories. Like, you have to either stir the pot and sit back, like Kyle Richards and Garcelle this season are doing. Or you're like the friends with everybody. You kind of like table the conversation, try to get conversations done in private. She just is kind of like neither of that and just wants to be there. Doesn't want to interact, just wants to be present.
I know. And I don't know how she, I mean, she could play a Kyle Garcelle role in that way. Like she knows how to talk. Mm-hmm. She knows how to whatever, but I think she views herself as like, just this sort of queen person who founded her show, and it's like, yeah, that's what you are, but that doesn't really translate in this environment. with these people who
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Now, so I really, the star for me though, I think she is so problematic in so many ways, but Brandy is delivering on all cylinders. Like, she really is. In watching her, you're like, why has she not been back on Housewives? Like, she would be the perfect, like, she would have been magical on the last season of Beverly Hills with all that was going on with Erica. Like, can you imagine her speaking with Erica Jane about her loss?
I can't imagine that at all. I literally cannot awful. Imagine that.
I can't imagine it.
And she would sit there and be like, so you did it.
It would be Sutton times 10. Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing with Brandy, we rewatched some old Beverly Hills episodes for some, like, rewatch series we were doing here on the podcast. And one of the episodes we rewatched was Game Night. And rewatching it, you kind of like figure out your stance on things. Mm-hmm. And those women were so nasty to her from beginning to end on that show. And, you know, she has done some crazy things, and she is crazy and she is unhinged. But I really do think, and I do agree with Dorinda, I actually think she's like a very nice person, like at the core of it. She just, her delivery is chaos.
Yeah. She's almost like, she is kind of like a truth teller. Like I don't think she means badly. And I don't think that she really lies about things, but I think I think the reason why she's not on Housewives is that because she just like always takes just like a step too far. Like, it's like she has like one or two many drinks, and then she just can't.
Four or five.
Yeah. Right. But it's like, there's that barrier where it goes from being like, oh my God, Dorinda, you put me in the pullout couch, to like saying that the death of Taylor's husband was really hard for her. And then it's like, like, it was funny that you were like, you cut through the bullshit and were like, why am I to pull out couch? But then you just kept going, and she doesn't know how to stop. And I think that's her downfall. But I do appreciate her, just like, her ability to cut through the bullshit, say what, you know, I don't know. She's so compelling, but then it's like, Brandy, so just like, good. Just stop a little sooner, you know?
But there's also something about the balance between her and these women that's amazing. Yes. When she said that she thought that woman was a lesbian because she has lesbian eyebrows, I like spit my drink.
And she said it so nonchalantly.
Yeah, and then for them all to be like, wait, who were you saying was a lesbian? And the woman, like, full on, like, Mean Girls, like, slowly raises her hand, like, who's been victimized by Brandy Glanville? Like,
that was amazing.
They're like, well, who's the they're like, it was like,
it was the guy's wife. Guy was
like, it's my wife. And they're like, well, who's your wife? And she's like, me.
You just like can't make this
like,
shit
that
up.
Wouldn't have unfolded in that way though, like in Beverly Hills, like that scene.
No.
Because the women don't know how to facilitate conversation. These women are just bouncing off of each other. Like, what'd you say? Why'd you say that? What did you say? Blah, blah, blah. And so like, it was just like moments like that.
And Phaedra's reaction also was amazing to that. Amazing. Obviously. But I will say, in the trailer for this show, they made that comment seem like it might be about Denise Richards. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Because they also cut to Tamara says something about Denise.
It didn't disappoint. It just was not what they framed it as in that trailer by any means.
Yeah. They often do that. But yeah. Well, okay, so people haven't deep dived in yet. Vicky and Tamara, I want to hear y'all's take.
Vicky's really dark for me. Like, it's really like the fact that she was asked point blank, are you an anti-vaxxer? And she just says yes, without no pause, no qualms about saying it. I'm still kind of speechless over it, because it's just like,
as she's like miserable laying in bed because of like COVID that literally she can't get over.
And Phaedra is over there. She's like, why are you saying?
Also, it's honestly kind of fucked up that like Phaedra as a cast member on the show thought that everyone's vaccinated, and like that's like kind of fucked. Like, at least if Vicky actually does have that medical exemption, at least tell everybody that. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, that was weird to me.
But those medical, she lives in, I'm sure she
I'm sure it's like phony, but like, at least like tell people that she's starring with and sharing, you know, intimate quarters with.
Especially when they were filming this too.
Yes.
Yeah, that was wild to
right
me.
When they filmed it right after everyone had essentially been vaccinated. Like we were all for the first time feeling a sense of relief, you know,
mm-hmm.
like most of America by like that time had their second doses, I think probably. Right.
I think so.
And it was, or maybe second doses hadn't gone out yet, but
no,
I can't remember.
It was
timeline.
Like, they probably filmed August.
Yeah. I think
September.
You're right.
Yeah.
So yeah,
we would have been
second dose time. Like people, we were still like finally starting to feel comfortable to be places again. And for her to do that, it's
fucked.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And cases were booming. They were like, we knew that we were going to have a really scary winter again. Like,
yeah, that was not in New York City. That was not the vibe.
Yeah, things were dark in New York.
And like,
again. Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. With Vicky, it's just like, I do sense that I just really didn't like how she came into this season. I think that she like kind of miscalculated how it would come across maybe, but like she came in like already disliking Brandy. The house was not up to her standards. It's like all these different things that has added up to me. And I'm like, it's like, at least like she's not even trying to have fun yet, you know? And I'm just, it's not. And I know that she had just broken up, or she'd just been broken up with literally the day before. So like you want to give her some sympathy there, but like, it's also her job to be on the show and like not phone it in. So I don't know.
She was sitting at that it was like that lunch before she went to the hospital, because she's always at the hospital. And she was like sweating, looked miserable. Her hair was
like
disheveled.
She looks like she's
like, she looked like she had to shit so badly and didn't know what to do.
I texted to someone. I was like, she looks like she's like hour three into day drag on Pride weekend. Like she's like,
looked like me yesterday.
Literally, Gibson yesterday. Like she is. The makeup is peeling off of her face. Like, and I love when Joe's like, yeah, you look awful. Like she was like, everything about you don't look like yourself.
I appreciate things like that though, because I'm like, and she's right. Like Dorinda's like,
bad.
Don't tell her that. I want her to hang out. It's like, no, she should take care of herself and then try to have more fun later.
Do you guys agree that Tamara is better without Vicky?
1000%. I don't think that I think that she is really bogged down by her, because I think she feels, I feel like a lot of us have probably been in situations like this with friends when you sometimes like have to like cater to someone like in a social situation, like trying to make them feel that they belong there and things like that. And Tamara's doing that, because Tamara can like get along with anyone and also fight with everyone and can make good TV in any situation. But I think with Vicky, she needs to be in charge, and she feels really uncomfortable by, I think, this the dynamic of being at Dorinda's house. Like it didn't matter where Dorinda's house could have been, like in South Beach, and she still would have had a problem with it, because like it's not on her terms. It's not
a Four Seasons.
Yeah. The woman is
a
narcissist. She feels so wronged by Bravo, and it's just bleeding through the show. I think she is like the worst part of the show. Like she's not
TV. She's by far the worst to watch on this show. By far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But take anti-vax out of it, honestly. Like it's just
regardless of that. Yeah.
It's not fun. Like she's not being funny. She's not doing her typical like I love her hijinks that she gets into, where she's always like tripping or falling or getting her hand caught in doors and like, or like talking about when she's like whooping it up, or when she's talking about her love tank. Like she has so many facets to her that are entertaining, and I think she actually excels when there's trauma going on in her life. Like she excels. She went through the death of her mother like on camera and somehow made great television during it. Like I think the breaking up of her boyfriend could have only been made for better television. When I heard that, I was like, oh, it's going to be amazing. Cause she always goes there. Like she never has any sort of qualms, but it's not working. And I don't know.
In the first episode, you see Brandy kind of like try to tee her up for like some spicy convo and some like fuck men kind of thing, like with talking about her boyfriend. Even Dorinda brings it up too, and she's just, or ex-fiance, she's like literally like, I can't get over how she can't, like, she was sweating in the car and the girls are like, no, it's like literally cold. She gets there.
It's also,
and it's
not
like,
hot there, right? At that time of year, probably, right?
No, it's like probably 60? Like,
it's probably like 50s. Nice. It's probably like nice. No.
Yeah, it's like 60s, the perfect weather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where like it's cold at night, like hottish during the day. I mean, when they play those games, they're like in shorts and tanks and things. Anyways, she's miserable.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Literally opening scene.
And I think that Tamara and Vicky, like, we were talking about how, you know, on the girl strip shows, like you don't have to play a certain role, or, you know, you're kind of freed up from that. But I kind of think with them coming in together, they're like such a duo. Mm. And they're so known for like having a certain dynamic on OC that, like, even though they're not on that show anymore, we did talk about the fact like they're kind of on the brink of like, you know, they could be brought back at some point. Like, I feel like there's like this tension of like them trying to play into that dynamic. But then, like, mm-hmm. Tamara also not being super tied to Vicky, because, like, Vicky's not a popular person in the house. So, like, no. There's this tension. I don't know. It's just interesting to me to watch that. Especially
Does Tamara, like, agree with Vicky on things?
No.
I don't think so.
So she...
Remember, her son is, like, a huge Trumper.
Her son is a huge Trumper, and she hates that. And then he... She also, not, we don't need to talk much about this because we're trying to have levity here, but she posted something about, I was surprised she posted like a very passionate like stance on Roe v. Wade and everything that's happening.
Oh,
like,
I didn't see that. Cool.
Yeah. And she had something about, she spoke in the vaccination like conversation about like how she said, alluded to being like, no, you should be vaccinated. It's wrong to not be. Like, I think she's... I don't know that she's like a bleeding blue liberal, but like I definitely is more on the, you know, correct side of history, I would say, than Vicky is. And
it's hard not to be.
It's on at this point, seriously. Okay, not to get political, but
Brought it up. It's my fault.
But I just want to say, like, look at Vicky. Look at Vicky, who is so nasty, right? Her mind is in all the craziest places with vaccinations, with the state of the world. And she's literally like decaying in front of us. I'm like, this is, you don't have to live like this. Like, it doesn't have to be like this for you. And that's what, like, watching that and her political beliefs, it all kind of just all blends as one to me. I'm like, no, this is what happens when you are sick. Like, you are sick.
Mm-hmm.
She is not a good person, and you can tell just by looking at her.
And I bring that up because it's like, I'm sure that affects on some level Tamara's dynamic with Vicky, especially in this group of women, because I think that she's probably like, I'm Vicky's keeper a little bit on this trip, because like there are the pairs, like everybody has a pair almost, and
except but Taylor. Like,
Yeah. Brandy technically is her pair.
But it's like they're all pairs, but none of the pairs like really are actual pairs except for Tamara and Vicky. Like,
right.
I would say Eva and Phaedra are like real life pairs.
I don't even think they crossed over on the show together.
No, they didn't.
Jill and Dorinda never crossed over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're the only actual pair, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
Wait, can we talk for a second about the hilarious Vicky v. Teddy Mellencamp drama? Because,
oh my god, I live for it.
Crying, laughing. I mean,
and I don't like either of them.
I really don't like her. But I'm sorry, when Teddy clapped back at Vicky and said, "Where were you on January 6th?"
Does Teddy have like a new social media manager or something?
She must.
She's like,
her tweets are like next level right now.
Yeah.
They are.
Someone who's trying to get back on that fucking show, she's trying, and it's not failing.
She's having, Rinna won't shut up about trying to get Teddy back on the show. They all want, it's like, I don't know. They don't need another member of the Fox Sports 5 on there.
See, I disagree. I actually think she's like happy in this spot where she's like, I get to stay out of the mix, but I get to have this podcast that's successful and kind of like laugh in everyone's faces that like I have success, even though y'all thought I was boring.
She's in more drama now than she was on the show. So you're right. I mean,
I think she's in a good
spot.
It's
kind of working for her.
Did you watch that little clip of Vicky talking about her?
Huh?
I died.
But that's the Vicky I want.
Right.
Want
and we're not getting it. Yeah, we're not getting it.
No, like I love.
No, because she's literally has COVID.
She does.
Like what we forget is like, yes, she may be cleared to go on vacation, but
she's a long hauler.
Like we.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know why I feel so ill. And she's sniffling. It's like, I thought I'm good with COVID. I'm good.
Well, and remember she was like, I've never been happier than when I got COVID. And then like while she's saying that, she's like sweating. Like she's gray. Like she looks like Kristen Wiig with the Jordan Almond and Bridesmaids. Like,
that's
at the
literally
shop.
It. Oh my God.
I'm so hungry.
I just can't get over literally the first scene. I was like, I'm fucking hooked. The way we saw her literally just like, something hit when they got in that car and she's like, I'm not well.
She always thinks it's a different temperature than it actually is.
Maybe, you know what, actually now I'm kind of enjoying her on the show that we talk about it because I'm like just laughing at her pain, which is, there's a level of joy there.
That's so fucking bad.
Two people we haven't really spoken about. I guess we haven't really... We'll leave Dorinda for last. But Taylor... You know, I love to see that Taylor is in a much better place. I do worry that she falls in Vicky's department of politics. But, you know, that is what that is. But I do really, really like her. I forgot how much I liked her on the show. Because she kind of got lost in that third season of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Her final season.
I think with Taylor, it's interesting because like she'll pop in and out like here and there, mm-hmm. like over the years, but like, she's not really that engaged with like the broader Housewives ecosystem, like in general. Like if you compare it to like a Jill, who's mm-hmm. also been gone for a long time, and Jill like is much more plugged into things, I feel. But like, so I'm loving having Taylor back, and I think that she's at this nice level of like knowing how it works, but like she's not really trying too hard to be a certain way. She just like is herself. Mm-hmm. And that's always going to have like some mess attached to it, but like kind of in an endearing way, you know?
Yeah.
I'm liking her. I think it's like, she's a solid presence on this show, I would say.
Yeah. She's a good neutral.
Yes. Except for when she like lit into Brandy at that ghost dinner or whatever it was, like that you could like see her like mind flip. And it was just like, she went, that was intense, that little reaction that she gave her.
That was wild.
I was unexpected.
Yeah.
They have the most beef out of anybody there that's unresolved. Yes. Like Tammy and Tammy.
Tammy. Bring Tammy on.
Tammy. Vicky and Tamra. They've settled a lot of their shit, but like...
And also Brandy's doubling down on it. Brandy's like doubling down on like, no, your husband's death was harder for me. No, like okay. That was the hardest year of my life.
No matter how long it's been, it's so fucked up.
It's
to
so
say.
Fucked up. Like
Taylor, but then she thought but Brandy thought she was making solid points, and she keeps, it's kind of hilarious. Taylor keeps being like, she thinks we're in a good place, but she said something really awful.
And I think I know what she's trying to say, which is that like she also had a hard year because she was joining the show amidst all this turmoil. But like she was not, I don't know.
She's making it sound like her and Russell
were like
buddy buddy, like
right.
Always going to the Abbey to grab cocktails before filming. Like,
shut up, Tom.
Yeah, that was
like,
wild.
She just like, the way it's worded, I'm like, Brady, you
no,
sound
it's
like
always
you're in defense
off.
Of him.
Yes, exactly.
And Taylor's what? Like, I'm sure Taylor's like, I haven't had to talk about this man this much since like my therapy sessions like years ago. Like, I
also,
think
like,
she's in such a positive place now, you know?
She 100%. She seems like she's in a really good place. I think that's what makes this all like feel better about having her back, is that she has like figured out some of, or she's like, she has a new man in her life. Like her daughter seems to be great. Like mm-hmm. it all seems good for her. And so I think that what's that's what makes it extra nice having her back, is because she left our TVs in not a great place.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's kind of
like heartwarming as like, again, like as people who have watched it for so long. It's
of
like,
of course.
Yeah, she is like round. It's creating a nice like round out for her like Bravo story. You know,
totally.
Like the last thing we're talking about isn't her last season anymore. You know, now she gets to kind of like be like, no, this is like who I am, and there, I did it.
Yeah, and she has like these like a cute little friendship with Eva, and it's like, you know, it just it's nice.
Yeah, it's great. I'm loving her on the show. And then lastly, we should spend a little bit of time talking about Dorinda. Now, Dorinda,
the
like we said before, is really stepping in. Her ego is, it seems that her ego has grown with the gift of this show being about her. And I feel like when filming it, like it just, I think she almost thought it was going to be like Dorinda's house.
Right.
and friends. Like I just, going into it, she just like has this like, inflated, you know, I don't know, self-awareness. I love her. I think she's amazing for our television screens, but I'm not sure where her fit on Roni would be after this. I'm not seeing it necessarily.
I think, I mean, it's honestly, I don't really know how to talk about Roni these days, is because like, we're going to get a completely new show and then we're going to get Legacy, which like to me, I don't think that Dorinda's had enough time away from the cameras to really kind of like get back to the person we all like initially fell in love with. I don't think that she's like had enough like reflection time, but I also don't think they could ever do Legacy like without her. Like she seems like a no-brainer to put on that show to me. So, cause she like is friends with all of them. She's been around for a long time, but it's just frustrating. Cause there are sparks of that little, of that woman that we met and we loved. And like, but then again, it's sort of like a Brandy where she has like those extra couple drinks and like loses the plot and like, then just starts not making any sort of sense. And like, I want her to just like cut it back a bit, but I don't know if she'll ever, I don't know.
And it's a little too self-referential. Like she's always talking about nice. And I'm like, the books are everywhere and the whiskey's everywhere. I'm like, no one else brought their shit. Like, no, like that's
Jill and Dorinda have that same problem. Yeah.
But Tamara has like a huge weed business and she's in an area of the country where weed is illegal. Like she could have like easily been talking about like her like CBD and THC products and like brought things to everyone and blah, blah, blah. And like, but it's like, she's not doing that because she's like, I'm here to just get in the muck with the
or
girls,
just like, or know? Just like have that one moment like Melissa brought some Envy pajamas or whatever for everybody last time. Great, cute, one moment, 30 seconds, move on. But like, I feel like we're getting it every fucking scene.
Yeah, and we're at her house, so it's just that is the moment.
Right,
we're
it's literally our house. Like, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Dorinda's a, because again, like I have these moments where I'm like, love Dorinda, like love her on this show. She's fun, but then it just there's
I
a
think
self.
It's gonna get more dark.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, it only is just based on like the rumblings like after the show had wrapped and kind of like the promos we see. It's like I think she the common theme is that she doesn't have like a ally in the house, which is like kind of fucked up and kind of sad. I mean, she is like I'm not saying I feel bad for her, I'm just saying that it's like I worry that this is going to paint her in a worse light.
It's not gonna do her any. Honestly, it's not gonna do her any favors, right?
Yeah, I think she's okay with that, though. Honestly, I think she's just happy to be on TV.
Well, I don't know if she realizes that. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if she realizes how it actually comes across, because she does have all of these like iconic moments and one-liners and things that will stand the test of time. They still hit. Like, she's starting is still really funny to me. You know, like
it's hilarious,
Clip is still so funny to me. Sticking her face in the birthday candles is so funny to me, but like I think that she like uses those as a crutch way too often. I think she thinks that those excuse her worst moments, and the ratio of like those good moments to bad moments has just like severely changed over the years. Yeah. I don't think she knows that, and that's
yeah
I like I love an un self-aware housewife, but I also think that you have to have some level of self-awareness as well.
It's
I don't
a balance.
Know. There's a good balance there. Yeah, and her balance is off right now.
Right, because it's like a lot of these women know what they're doing, you know, and like they're intentional about things. I think Brandy's unaware and unaware. I don't think, but somehow it works perfectly for her. But like on some level, you have to be like on and turn it off eventually. You know, I think she's just like, this is how she is. And I don't think that, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Maybe I'm making sense.
I think you're making sense.
I think you're making sense.
I think it's just like we all, every one of those housewives like has, or ex-wives has a different level, or it has a different combination of those two qualities. Mm-hmm. And like for her, I don't know. They all
figure out. I think in the end, I think she was better when her balance is a little bit different.
Yes. 100%.
So did Eva come up with the name?
Ex-wives?
Or was it already named before they got there?
I don't know. I don't know if it had the name yet. I'm not sure.
I think that they talked about it a bit, like just on camera, and it stuck. I'm not sure that they had a name. Yeah.
Okay. Also, so I interviewed Monique Samuels this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys see that she got the call initially to be on the show?
No.
What?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she, I think she had told this to Carlos King, who produces her new show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I interviewed her and I asked her about that. And she said that she was Andy's like second call for this show. And a lot of people think that Eva got the last minute call and that it would have been Monique instead of Eva. That's sort of what the theory is. I don't know if that part's confirmed, but she turned him down twice because she just didn't want to be back on in like the Bravo family at all. But I think that would have been very different. You know what I mean?
You know, I think what Carlos is doing is great. I think he's creating great shows, but I think that was a missed opportunity on Monique's end.
I just get the impression that she's like done with Bravo forever. She doesn't want to be associated with it anymore. But it could. I just think that she's great TV. So it would have been an interesting change. But Eva's great. So I'm glad we ended up with her.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree. Now, my one like kind of final thought / question. Do anyone here like have like a person that they think would be a hilarious like additional cast member to this crew? Like who would have been another kind of like ex-wife that could have been like a great addition?
I think that I would, well, first of all, they need to, the next girl should pass to have Potomac representation on it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy that we haven't gotten that yet, but I don't know, because so many of them have stuck around for so long. So that I don't think anybody from
Potomac,
I kind of think that there's like another New York spot there, because like I think that Jill isn't fully like engaging yet, and I think there's like space for like a Tinsley or like somebody like that,
you
who
know
could have, like,
I was gonna say Aviva.
Love Tinsley.
I think Aviva would have been chaos.
I I would have loved to have seen it to see how she is now, but I kind of think that she would have been trying to do way too much. You know what I mean?
1,000% she would have.
She would have like recreated the leg throw, and it would have been like, okay.
Like every opportunity she took, she'd like take that thing off.
Carol could have been interesting, but I don't know if she would have played ball.
Mm. Yeah, Kix, how about you?
I think Kim Richards would be, especially in this group. I knew, Tom, this was probably your answer, but
love
I think
Kim.
She
Kim is like my top three favorite of all time.
Fucking hilarious in this group. I do think that like there needs to be, I wish there was some Jersey there. I'm not like a ride or die Jersey housewives girl, but
Caroline Manzo could have been good on this, honestly.
That's mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of who I was thinking.
Yeah,
or Danielle, honestly. Danielle would have been kind of amazing too.
And she would have fucking done it, right? Like
she would have.
Can you imagine Danielle and Brandy?
My God.
They're too similar. It would have like
who would have Danielle been friends with?
Would have crashed into.
I actually think she would have been friends with Brandy. I think she would have not gotten along with the OC gals.
Yeah,
oh, she would rip Vicky.
Because, oh my God, why is Danielle Staub not on this show?
She really shouldn't have been.
The next one should be Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Chaos, and it's like Kim Richards, Danielle,
or Real House Ultimate Girls Trip Convicts. That's Kim Richards, Danielle,
Real Housewives,
Sonia,
Real
Luan,
Housewives Ultimate Girls
Tinsley.
Trip ex-wives who have no chance of ever coming back to the show. Burn Bridges edition.
I also would be down for Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip friends of, and have mostly just need Rosie on our screens. Rosie from New Jersey. I just want to see
friends where Rosie's at.
Friends of, what? That would be such a sleeper, I feel like.
Not if Rosie was there. Rosie brings energy always.
Yeah, who would be? Oh my God, Friends of, I mean, edition.
We're going to get into the territory of like how on Drag Race we're like, we need all stars. Oh, yeah. First outs, Snatch Game winners, you know, like.
I think legendary one season wonders. There might be something there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, I agree. And I was going to say like maybe an OG season, but like I feel like the last one was like essentially an OG season, even though it wasn't technically.
Yeah, it pretty much was.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm just like loving this. I'm like this concept of a show.
Same. It's fan service. It's everything. It's just, like, they're just really amazing. Doing something good with this. It is.
Like if you had told a Bravo fan 5 years ago we were going to get something like this,
I wouldn't have believed it.
Beyond.
I wouldn't have believed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other thing I want to say about it is just that, like, I feel like we got everything that was in the trailer. So, like, I have no idea what's coming.
I agree. I have no idea what's going to come. And we have, like, what, 5 more episodes or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
there's, yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the one thing I'm sort of seeing people talk about is, like, you know, like, thank God we got this season because last season of Ultimate Girls Trip, like, wasn't it or whatever. And, like, to me, what's great about it is that it's showing the different incarnations that this can be, as we were just discussing, but like they all are going to have such different vibes. If like, mm-hmm. I want every season of Ultimate Girls Trip to like feel completely different from the last one. And like, I really appreciated that first season. I thought it was really fun and breezy. And like, there was like the Ramona drama was like funny as fuck. Like Ramona and Kenya was really great TV, I thought, season. But yeah. I also loved when they were talking about what it was like being on the shows and like all those conversations, like the Teresa and Melissa stuff and how the other ones were reacting to that. Like that was all fascinating to me because mm-hmm. they're in this and those women were like the titans of their shows. So like,
right.
I don't know. And then this one feels like a different show, but in the best way. So I don't know. People are kind of using how good this show is to sort of shit on that first round, but I'm not part of that camp.
They're so different.
No, me neither. The one thing I'll save about whatever this next, because I know that they're in the middle. There's been a lot of rumored casts for like the next one. And, you know, I do like Salt Lake City and I like some of the women on there, but I don't think we're ready to put them in the mix like this. Like I saw that and I really do like Whitney and Heather, but I just don't know that we're ready for that yet. Like let them live a little bit more in their own universe because we can't let their presence become too big. Like when the show is so early on, because like what's so good about Salt Lake City is that they're fighting for a show, for their show, you know, like they're trying to make the drama good, like the drama's organic, like that we're not dealing with like super saturated famous women yet. And I worry that doing things like that, like including them on like the next season of this would make them too big, too famous. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's a huge risk with Salt Lake City in general. They're just having it be way too quick of a burn because it's just like they've gone 0 to 1,000 in 2 seasons. And I agree, like don't put them on these shows yet. And also like, I don't know if I want Whitney and Heather together on a show like this. Like I kind of would rather have like a pairing that isn't as expected because then
Lisa and Mary.
Sure. Like it's more of like a expected unexpected kind of thing. Like if Whitney and Heather came in together, and again, they're a fun duo to me, but like, we know exactly how they would act together. And like, I kind of don't want to know the whole point is that it's like a science experiment. It's like, you know, you just put everybody in a blender and see what happens. But I agree. So I don't think Salt Lake would be ready for this, but again, I need Potomac on the next one.
Yes. Karen needs to be on a boat or in an Airbnb with someone. I just need to see it.
I mean, honestly, bring Giselle and Karen in. Cause they'll play nice with each other, but then they'll also fight, you know,
amazing on it. And they both would do it, I think.
Absolutely. Oh,
totally. Yes. I'm sure Giselle will be on it. She seems like like she gets picked for everything, and rightfully so. But
Well, Gibson, this has been fabulous. Thank you for coming on and chatting with us.
Of course.
Can you just let everyone know where they can listen to you, follow you, all that stuff?
Yes. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gibsonoma. My podcast is called We Should Talk. You can find it anywhere at your podcast. You can also watch it on YouTube. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And then you can follow me at the Tom Hamlet. You can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet. That's spelled C-I-X.
Yes, and then podcast at Dumpster Dive Pod, and make sure to rate, review, subscribe to all the pods represented here, and yeah, have a fabulous rest of your day, evening, night, whenever you are listening to this weekend, and say bye to the listeners, Gibson. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.